Now, I think we can all agree that was some pretty awesome music. The guys who make the software are full of taste in what they've uploaded under this. All right, so...
your taste of music is taking those dives, Josh.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to get going. I just wanted to say, really excited that Chris is joining us today. Chris had set up his own... We're going to obviously talk a lot about this today, but set up his own martial arts academy several years ago and grown it to over 130 members through a combination of clever marketing, sales, and retention strategies. He's then set up a second academy and grown that to 25 members, I think. I'll just check the numbers with him in a bit, in a couple of months. Chris is really obsessed with kind of constant improvement of his systems and refining everything, getting it all working really well in his fitness business. And he's since that started helping other fitness businesses to use the same approaches that have worked for him so well and been having success there too. So in this interview, we're going to talk about freestyle martial arts and how they're different to other martial arts academies, Facebook ads, how Chris has been able to use them to drive hundreds of leads, different sales techniques, and why they're so important for helping people to become members. Different retention techniques and what things freestyle martial arts have changed. So, Chris, thanks, first of all, for coming on the call today.
No problem at all, pleasure.
Let's start back at the beginning. Can you explain to everybody how you got into martial arts in the first place?
I started when I was 11 years old. I didn't really fit in with doing things like football, although I was a great footballer. Not massively interested in joining the team and... I did other sports, but then, you know, I went to a local class. There was about 7 or 10 people in a class, and, yeah, that was a taekwondo club. Joined, and then never looked back, and, you know, 18 years later, I'm still here, and it's my full-time job.
Nice. Now, when did you get started running your own academy? You got into coaching, I guess, first of all, didn't you?
Yeah, I did about 3 years under somebody else. So I started coaching martial arts when I just turned 18 and then launched my own academy when I was 22. So I did about 3.5 years under somebody else and then went on and did it myself.
So you started running your own academy when you were 22 then, you said?
Yep.
Is that right? Okay. Now, what's been really interesting to me, and I think a lot of the people listening in would be really interested as well, is at some point you started moving away from kind of the traditional martial arts club model. What had inspired you to do that?
It was sort of a joint decision between myself and my two other colleagues, because I'm a franchisee. So there's three of us that make decisions based on, you know, the stuff that we're going to teach and how we operate. And we wanted to make a system whereby it's important that we still keep the same quality of class as far as martial arts education is concerned, but we can retain people for longer because it's more of a friendly environment and easier to get to grips with. Essentially, really, I think what we did is we made our beginners classes really, really easy as they start out, and then gradually getting more difficult as you go up through intermediate and then into black belt classes. I think the martial arts of old was far too difficult, and it's very, very hard for somebody to walk in, do a class, and then feel comfortable and stay. So we tried to figure out, like, right, if I was a 7-year-old girl who wanted to join, what would we have to do to make that person comfortable? So we sort of reverse engineered from the point of view of customer first, and then adapt the martial arts around the customer rather than, right, this is the martial arts, now let's find the customers.
I think that's really, really interesting. And it's like, it's one of these, so what's, can you just tell everybody, what's your kind of average length of time that somebody sticks around with you for?
Hard to say, really, but I reckon our average is going to be about 12 months, 12 to 14 months, somewhere there. Of course, you've got the people that are always going to join 1 month, and then the next month, you know, they disappear, and then 2 months later they're gone. And we've got other people, we've got a family, which one of them is one of my instructors now, who's with me from day one, literally launch day, 7 years ago last week. So yeah, last week we turned 7 years old, and yeah, he's been with me every single week without fail for 7 years. So we can hold on to people for a long, long time.
Yeah, I think it's really key. It's one of those things, like, each new customer is worth a lot more to you because they're sticking around for that 12 to 14 months. Whereas, like, you see a lot of fitness classes, I'm guessing this is going to ring true with a lot of people listening in, where people will come along for a bit and then they'll leave, or they'll come along and they'll won't come for a bit and then they'll come back again. You don't get all that much income out of them. So each customer isn't actually worth as much to you financially, which then kind of makes it harder to do marketing because you haven't got any budget for doing that as well.
Yeah, it's a constant struggle with, you're trying to obviously retain as many people as possible but get more people in, and having the ability to keep people for a long period of time. Especially, it's like a bucket with a hole in the bottom of it. The bigger the hole is, the faster the water's going to come out. And if you're tipping it in at a litre a minute and it's coming out at a litre a minute, then you're not going to retain people. But if you can, plug up that hole a little bit, then they're going to stay for longer, and it's going to be easier for you to grow over time. And like I have made a full-time job out of what essentially is, or what was something I paid for myself and did for fun. So I'm in a very privileged position.
What kind of things, you mentioned, like, you started out by making the first classes really easy and kind of to get people in. What's anything else that you changed? What's anything you kind of moved away from the standard model to make it into make it more attractive to people, make it something where they stick around?
I think we just cut out a lot of the old school, what I would call nonsense, really. There's stuff like our pricing system. I throw in grading, so they do where they earn belts every quarter. I throw in those for free because it gives value to the product and the service that we sell. Whereas other places, my local competition, there'd be, collaring people for 30, 40 quid every term. And if you've got a family of three doing that, it becomes very, very expensive. So that's what makes things easier for me, because there's no admin every quarter trying to chase people for money. It's easier for the customer because they don't have to remember or to bring in 30 quid cash or a check. And it's just makes it a lot more like every time I have a conversation with an existing customer, it's more, oh, hi, how are you? How's your week been? And a casual chat, not, oh, by the way, you owe me 30 quid. So it makes working like my job, although, yeah, I'm an instructor, my job is to work with the parents that come in and rapport build with them and chat with them. I've got great relationships with some of the parents. I think that was key. We're far too caught up in classes, standards, to keep standards really, really high. And it still is high. We let it go a little bit, but we've still got great students on the floor. And they're definitely comparable to the standard that we had years ago back in the old Taekwondo system, but just making it easier for the customer to come in and join, essentially. Like including uniforms and deals and stuff like that, and making sure that they don't have to chase you for anything. If you say to them, oh, yeah, we'll have that uniform ready for you next session, make sure it's there, little things like that, just keeping it really, really simple, cutting out all the processes you don't need, and just working for the person that's paying for the classes, essentially.
Okay, so there's a couple of interesting things you said there that I think are sometimes missed in fitness. One was about the kind of the real focus on customer service. It's not just focusing on making sure that the activity is really good, because I think that's what a lot of people do. We're going to have a great activity, and then we want people to come along and take part. And then if they don't, it's like it's their fault almost. But what you're kind of talking about here is, you've got a good activity, grand. But on top of that, what you're also trying to do is make sure that it is friendly and responsive, and you're really focusing on the customer service and making them feel comfortable, and you're not kind of nickel and diming them, the American one, for like, you know, just trying to get a little bit more, a little bit here, a little bit more there out of people, and instead focusing on keeping them around for longer.
Yeah, I mean, we could do that. I could go back to doing that. But I just feel, like me personally, whether it's like one of my personality traits, it makes me feel uncomfortable when I keep chasing people for money. I'm a martial arts instructor, not a debt collector. You know what I mean? Yes, I'm running a business, but I want to focus on the standard of the class and having nice conversations with the people that drop their kids off for our classes. I don't want every second conversation to be, oh, you owe me money, because then you just get a bad reputation for, oh, yeah, it's good classes, but, you know, those gradings are a bit expensive, and I don't want that, because that word will spread fast. You know, when they see you pulling up outside and in a fairly nice car, they go, oh, is that where the grade of money went, is it? And then you just start getting a bad reputation. My colleagues have done it. They've had it come back at them. I'd rather not do it. It makes my life so much easier, and I wouldn't change it ever.
Now, one of the things that you do, I think, that allows you to take this kind of approach, which is I try and encourage as much as possible to anybody that I talk to who's running a fitness business, is that you've got everybody set up on direct debit. I know that that's something that you think of as a really big deal. Can you talk a little bit about why you're so sold on that and why you think that works so well?
Well, our student figures, how many students we got? I think we just enrolled student number 145 last night. You can imagine if I got 145 students paying me £5 a class every week, it's chaotic. Basically, what I wanted to create was a system that is, well, essentially I work part-time, really. For the hours I put in, I'm working part-time. And I wanted to find a system whereby I'm not, like I said before, chasing people for money, whereby I can just monitor people's direct debits, include stuff in the price, like the gradings and throwing free uniform and stuff like that. That way the customer, it's easier for them. It's an easy sale because their direct debits aren't expensive. They're no contract. If they need to drop off for any reason, just send me an email and I'll cancel it. It's as simple as that. The reason why direct debits are so, so, so important is because it's, although that's not contracted, it's much more of a confirmed income every month. Most of the software that we use these days, we use a company called GoCardless, and they can send you like readouts of who's paid, who's missed a payment. You'll get an email straight away if someone's missed a payment. It just allows you to be much more efficient, because you're always going to get somebody that will turn up. If you're taking cash on the door, for example, you're always going to get somebody that's going to turn up and go, oh, sorry, yeah, I forgot to go to the cash point. It's all right if I catch up with you next week. You get one or two like that a week, every single week, and then all of a sudden you're starting to lose control. And quite often, you know, we have kids that are just dropped off by their parents that drop them off in the car park, and they haven't got to worry about coming in and paying and stuff like that. You can imagine, you know, we got 30-odd people in a class, massive queue at the door of people trying to pay me cash and me giving them change. You know, you're wasting 15 minutes of your time where people just want to come in, get the class done, and they're out the door. It's just about making things really, really simple. It's so easy to get overcomplicated with things, but the simpler it is, the better experience you have on both ends as a business owner and an instructor and a client.
Now, I know a lot of people get almost uncomfortable at the idea of doing direct debits. I know obviously gyms do it. That's completely normal in the gym industry. But people who are doing like fitness classes, like a Zumba or a dance or cycling lessons or any of these kind of things, it tends to be that people feel uncomfortable about doing it. Did you have any of that feeling when you started doing direct debits, and how did you get past that?
A lot. So when we've been doing direct debits since day one. I was set up with a company called Debit Finance Collections. Now, with DFC, we had the ability to contract people, so we could contract people for up to 12 months, and I think that's a massive downfall of doing direct debits. All I'm using direct debits for is a method of collecting regular payments. So I don't want to contract people. It's that bit that scares people off. If you say, look, it's just a rolling month-on-month direct debit, there's no contract. If there's any problems, medical, or if, you know, you need to leave for whatever reason, send me an email, I'll cancel it. if you can sort of come up with that sort of language that makes people feel more comfortable. Also, I think over time, people are more comfortable with doing so. Most people pay things like their gas and electricity bills by direct debit, things like Netflix, Amazon Prime and stuff like that. They're all direct debits these days. So I think culture has changed, but a lot of it is because people have been stung by gyms and stuff before in the past, like this big gym chain, like the one that, you know, I used to work at and what you attend. They would contract people for 12 months, and if, you know, you miss a payment, you get whacked with a £12.50 or £20 charge for missing a payment. A red letter comes through the door if you cancel the direct debit. They'll send out debt collectors, and it gives you an awful, awful reputation. Nobody will ever come back if they get one of those letters through the door, trust me. I've had it before, and people have complained about it, and I've had to complain to the company, and they say, well, you know, that's what we do. So then I'd move to go cardless, and they're just month by month, if someone cancels, they don't chase them, which is brilliant. That's exactly what I want. Because at the end of the day, if they cancel, they ain't going to be there. They're no use to anyway. You know, you can get that extra one more payment out of them, but I'd rather leave on good terms, and then potentially in 6 months, time they go, oh, yeah, we can go back to that martial arts because our schedule's changed. So, yeah, I think culture has changed, but it's all about the company you use as well.
Okay, so we talked quite a lot about the retention side of things and the keeping people around a long time and getting those regular payments from them via direct debit. One of the things that I think that is so crucial for is because it means that if you need to, you can afford to spend money on marketing. Because if we look at what do you charge people a month? Is it like £25, £30?
So one day a week is £30 and then 2 days a week is £45.
Okay, so if we take 30 and say people stick around for 12 months, on average, that's £360 each new customer is worth to you. So if you need to spend a little bit of money on marketing to get somebody in, it's like, oh, that's fine. Whereas if each person who's starting, on average, sticks around for 10 sessions or something and is worth £50, it's quite hard to afford to spend money on marketing. But one of the things I think you've done over the last kind of year or so is to really get that marketing working really well for you. How did you, like, let's go back a little bit before you'd started using digital marketing and Facebook ads and that kind of thing. How did you used to do your marketing?
Okay, so when I first started, when I first launched, I used to stand out. Bear in mind, we launched on the 26th of January 2011. I stood out on the street giving out flyers with a clipboard taking names and numbers, and then I'd chase people up and call people. 2 degrees outside, raining, I'd still be there. It was character building, that's what it is. Then as I started to get more settled, I'd start to work with local schools because they're a great way to get in touch with our key age. So what we try and do is get kids into classes and then with the hope that parents might want to get involved as well because we sell family packages. At a discounted rate, so quite often parents end up going for free. And with them in the class, it helps to retain the kids as well, because if the parents fall in love with it, guess what? They'll keep dragging their kids along as well. So, we started working in local schools, and that was under, you know, institutions like Heart Sports Partnership, and they had, like, dedicated people in the schools to help with sports companies and organising stuff, and then as the Conservatives started putting the squeeze on schools' budgets, those sort of roles started to disappear. They didn't have PE coordinators anymore. PE lessons are just sort of thrown together these days, really, by the teacher that's teaching the class. So it's become increasingly more difficult to get into local schools. And, you know, if one company goes in before you and makes a hash of it and gets a bad rep, guess what? They're not going to let anybody else in either. So, and also quite a lot of schools these days will have contracts with sports companies, like multi-sports companies that will come in and do football on a Monday, rugby on a Tuesday, netball on a Wednesday and stuff like that. So it's very, very increasingly difficult. It can be done if you get to speak to the right person, but that receptionist is trained to get rid of you. You'll never, ever speak to them directly. They are militant. And I'll tell you what, I would love to have an ex-school receptionist running my office for me, because they're brilliant at getting rid of people that they don't want calling them. PPI, see you later. They don't deal with any nonsense. So, yeah, they were sort of, you had to keep them very, very sweet when, you know, when you go into the school. Oh, hi, how you doing? All this, like, you have to be really, really friendly to the lady on reception because she controls what comes through that door. And yeah, and then started to get frustrated with the fact that I couldn't get into schools because it was so lucrative. Some of the enrolments that we had in 1 month doing that was absolutely insane. And then obviously then you spoke to me one day about internet marketing in the gym, and I was like, nah, that's a load of rubbish. And of course I didn't listen, did I? Because I'm a bit ignorant. 6 months later, and I'm like, well, this Facebook thing, yeah, might work, I don't know, let's have a bash. And then there we are a few years later, and that's all I do. I don't do anything else.
Now, what did you, how many, do you remember how many members you had before you started doing Facebook ads?
I'd say somewhere between 60 and 75, something like that. It's between 60 and 80.
How long ago was that? A year and a half ago?
A year and a half, 2 years, yeah.
Something like that. Okay, and how many members you got now?
145.
Wow, so it's like probably more than double.
Yeah.
In 1 year, and you've been doing it before that since, what was it, 2011?
So I spent 4 or 5 years ish doing flyering in schools, and then started doing social media marketing for the last 18 months, 2 years.
And what did you get? One of the ones I was absolutely loving is your second academy that you opened. Tell people about the kind of results you got using Facebook ads for that first night.
Oh, dear. Yeah, it was mad. I created a Facebook event and then boosted it. We did a little, little 10, £20 boost running up to the big £100 budget boost, which for, you know, a sports company is not even that big. You could easily spend £250 easily on an ad. But because the hall was quite small, we were going, you know what? This hall's smaller than the one we got in Watford, so we've got a smaller capacity. I think the capacity of the room is somewhere between 25 and 30, dependent on sort of size of people and what we're doing in any one class. So I was thinking, right, if we can get 10 people in on the first night, that'd be a great starting point. We had 14 or 15 people book up in the first... We boosted it for 2 weeks, 14 or 15 people book up in the first 10 days, and then it sort of dropped off, and I thought, fine, if we get, you know, 14 people booked, if we get 7 or 8, that's brilliant. And then I come to launch day. Luckily, I had one of my instructors, Dave, with me, because we had 24 people turn up on day one. So basically, we filled up our new club on day one.
That's just amazing, isn't it? I mean, cause I know crazy. People who, you know, they'll struggle away trying to get like 9 or 10 people along to a class. And you had on day one, you just rocked up and had 25 people in there.
Yeah.
And how many of those signed up on direct debit?
14.
14 of them. Amazing.
14 people paying £30 a month.
Nice. Okay.
So on day one.
So we've kind of talked.
Never, ever made a loss in Hartford. Never.
That's nice.
Not
one.
Session.
Yeah, even on day one, straight away into a profit. Amazing.
Covered all of the deposit, all hire and marketing budget for the launch.
Now, we've talked now kind of about retention and why that's really important, and then the direct debit and how that's helped you to have a high customer lifetime value, and then the marketing and how you're getting people in the door using Facebook ads. Actually, let's just touch a little bit on what kind of Facebook ads have you tried and what ones have you found work the best?
I think it all depends on what if you're obviously the whole point is trying to get people in the door, but if it was for something like launching a new academy, then it was like a boosted event. I think they work really well. I've had great success with not only myself, but the basketball team that I'm a business and marketing manager of. We did a boosted event with them as well, and it worked really well. If you're doing like a special offer, then it may be just like a normal boosted post. And then if you just want to get contact details of maybe people, if you're looking for on a regular basis, you've not got any special offer on that month, or there's no special event, then I'd use something like the lead ads. I think they're best for that, because you get like a slow trickle of people coming in rather than loads of people all at once, because it can be hard to manage like that launch. The reason why our sales rate tends to be around 75-80% of people that come in will join. And although, you know, it's a great first day in Harford with 24-25 people turning up, I was a little bit disappointed that I let a few of them slip, because I only signed up 14 of those. So it was a good day, but because there were so many people coming in the door at once, it was hard to get round everybody and answer everyone's questions effectively. And I find if you get one or two people in every single session, that's a much more manageable way and personable way to grow. So yeah, if it's launching a new class somewhere, boosted event, if it's a special offer, then I do a normal post and then boost that. And if you just want a steady trickle of people coming in every session, then Facebook lead ads is the way to go.
Now, you mentioned there about sales, so that's kind of a good segue. Let's kind of move on to that. What's your kind of feeling towards, I don't know, some of the mistakes you see other people make, or kind of things that have worked well for you with sales?
I think the whole window salesman thing, I've got this thing about don't mark something up to knock it down. We used to do like a beginner's course, and the course would be a 3-month course, and it's, you know, £500, but if you sign up today, it's 99 quid. Guess what? The value of that is 99 quid. People aren't responsive to that these days. It's been around for too long with window salesmen coming around, knocking on your door, going, oh, if we do the front of the house or the back of the house for free, whereas really it's just the same price. So marking up to knocking down, I don't particularly like, especially when you're selling direct debits. You don't need to do that. Just be straight to the point. Like, people don't even ask. I've been in gyms and worked with sales advisors in the gyms. They don't even ask whether somebody wants to join. They show them around and then go, okay, cool, we'll give you a call. But no, ask them right now, would like to join. People don't ask up front because they're about too nervous maybe about the response they're going to get. But if you don't ask, then you're not going to find out. So, yeah, just be straight to the point. Answer any questions they got. Obviously, objection handling is really, really important. Make people feel comfortable with the fact that you're selling them a direct debit and you're not going to contract them. And yeah, it's just the simpler you keep it, the more efficient it is, especially if you've got 10 people coming in on one day, like we did the other day, and you've got 5 minutes to try and get around everyone. It'd be next to impossible if you sat there having a 15-20 minute conversation with everybody. Keep it really simple. People don't want to be oversold, especially if it's a direct debit for like 30 a month. It's not like you're trying to sell a house. If you're selling something for £250,000, then yeah, it's a bigger deal. But if it's a direct debit for an after-school club or something like that, then just be straight to the point. That's how much it is. Would you like to join? Simple as that.
I think one of the things you do really well, and I don't know how much of it's kind of developed as a skill and how much is just really natural to you, but it's about building rapport with people and kind of making them feel comfortable straight away. Because that's one of the things I think in sales is a really big deal. Is that something that you had to kind of learn and get the hang of, or was it something just really natural for you?
I don't really know.
Probably natural.
I think it's part of my personality. Obviously, it's hard to say because we've been on and read so much about sales and learned so much about sales from books and seminars and stuff over the years that you don't really know what's natural and what's been ingrained in you. I think it is natural, more natural than it is forced, that's for sure. Basically, I treat anybody that comes through the door as if they're one of my friends. I talk to them on a level that I talk to my friends, maybe not divulge as many personal things about myself as I would to my friends, but just be really friendly and just make people feel really, really comfortable. And if they're comfortable with you, then they'll ask you questions and they'll come to you with problems. One of the things we found over the years also is that people will just disappear. The direct debit will get cancelled and you'll be like, wonder why that is. And if you don't have that relationship with you, they might not be confident enough to say, look, he's not really enjoying the classes. Is there anything we can do? You'll just log on one day and then say the diet diet's been cancelled. And then when you phone them, they'll go, oh, yeah, actually, something else has come up. And they won't be honest with you. So if you can be really just treat everybody as if they're your friend rather than seeing, you know, money that walks through the door, that's the best way. Try and focus more on creating a nice atmosphere and sitting down, chatting to parents, and introduce parents to other parents. That's always a great way to do it. But, yeah, I think it's definitely more natural, really, for me.
Okay, so we've talked a bit about customer retention, customer lifetime value, direct debit. I've seen there's a couple of questions from people about the direct debits and stuff like that, so we'll cover resources and links and stuff at the end. We talked about the effectiveness of Facebook ads for getting people in and kind of what works there, some tips about sales. Now, one thing you'd mentioned a minute ago that I think is really interesting and is that you started working with this basketball club and helping them with their marketing and sales. Do you want to just give an overview of how that came about and what you're doing with them?
Yeah, so the guy that runs, basically I've got a 10% share in a basketball academy. And the guy that runs it is the guy that runs the facility of where I hire a hall for my Watford academy. So he saw me walk in, a fresh-faced 22-year-old, all full of beans, going to conquer the world of his martial arts academy. And he showed me around the facility, and I was like, yeah, great, I'll hire here. And obviously he's seen clubs come and go over the years. A Zumba club went and gone, a dance team went and come in, hired, and then disappeared 6 months later. And, you know, I was just another one of those to him when I first walked in. And then last September, we launched his basketball club. So over time, he's seen my academy grow, and he's seen over the last, specifically for the last 2 years, when we've had that big jump in numbers coming in the door. Like, he sits there behind the desk and watch all these people walking up the stairs to the gym that I hire, and he goes, how many new people do you have in today? And I was like, oh, five. He goes, oh my God, that's really good. I said, yeah, that's all right. And he's seen the amount of people growing, and he's, you know, I speak to him twice a week. So now, ever since I've known him, he's been a keen basketball fan. He played basketball throughout his childhood and his teenage years into his adulthood. And he's, you know, a qualified coach, but he didn't have the confidence to go and do it himself. He would talk about it. He goes, oh, yeah, next year, I'm going to try and get a class going, try and get a basketball club up and running. And guess what? 5 years later, he still didn't do it. So I basically said to him, look, if you don't do it, I'll do it, and I'll pay you as a coach, and I'll take the money, because I know that he's a really good coach, and he just didn't quite have that confidence or maybe even the know-how of how to get it off the ground. And, you know, I basically, you know, he's a friend of mine, and I basically forced him to do it. It's like, I'm not going to let you sit behind this desk and waste your talent when I know how good you are, because he's done one-to-one coaching on basketball with me, because it's a hobby of mine. I'm not going to let you waste it and not follow your dream. So I'll do it for you if you want. And we come to a deal whereby he was like, actually, yeah, that's a good point. I'll take 10%, and then he does all the coaching and takes the rest. And I'm now just his advisor. We catch up every week, and I come in and sort of watch sessions and give a bit of feedback and critique. And, yeah, it's going great. We had 29 people turn up for his first session. We've currently got we enrolled about 20 of those and 21 of those over the time, because people drifted off and then came back like a month later, because his effectiveness at chasing people wasn't quite as efficient as mine, but giving him a little bit of time to figure it out and learn for himself, he managed to claw him back in. Yeah, he's doing really well.
Nice. So what number is he up to now then?
Last time I spoke to him, so since September 28th, he's enrolled 28 students.
All on direct debit.
Yep.
Nice. Great.
So he's running one class a week, 28 people paying $25 a month on direct debit. And he also does a a cash on the door, although it wasn't my idea, but he wanted to do it. And I said, look, if you want to do it, do it. But it's not the main, yeah, don't talk to me about cash on the door. I've got nothing to do with this. But he runs something called an open run, so people can just turn up and play. So there's no coaching. You pay £5 on the door. You turn up and you play games and you organise, you know, splitting people into teams and stuff like that, which has proved really, really successful, much to my scepticism, because I don't like doing cash on the door. But if it's a casual turn up and play, we've got a lot of adults, you know, we have people travel across London coming up to Watford just to play for 2 hours and then all the way back to East London again, which is quite amazing. And, you know, we've had 35 people in the room before. I think one of the reasons he wanted to do the open run is the fact that he wanted to join in himself and play himself. But, you know, it's turned out that he's so busy trying to organise it that he doesn't have a chance to play himself. So he's created he's like, oh, don't worry, I'll hire a hall so I can join in and play and have a bit of fun myself. And it turns out that he's as busy doing that as he is coaching. So it's another side of his job. But then that's just another tool for getting people interested, because you never know. A dad might come in, play a game and go, oh yeah, my son might want to do coaching. So it is a useful tool, to be fair. And I think, despite maybe my slight naivety about basketball, I think it was a good move.
Okay. So we're going to move on in a little bit and do a Q&A session, because I can see there's some questions already people have got put in. But I just want to talk through, we've talked through quite a lot of different ideas today. Different things that Chris has used and is helping other people to use in terms of improving profitability and getting bigger numbers in and improving sales and retention, all this kind of thing. And there's a couple of options you've got now. If these have been ideas that you like the sound of and one that you want to implement. So the couple of different options are, you can obviously do it yourself. You can take what you've heard and go, great, that sounds really good, I'm going to try and do that. Or the easier option, I would suggest, is Chris has made an incredibly generous offer of doing a free strategy call with people on the call today, and so you can get Chris's help. So obviously completely your decision which of these you go for, and it's my responsibility to tell you what the process is like if you do it yourself, kind of the benefits of getting help from Chris. So Chris, we hadn't gone through these exactly, so if any of these, if after we've gone through them, any of these aren't quite right, then do correct me. Okay. Chris swore me to not tell him what any of the questions were in advance to make sure he sounded as natural as possible on the call today. So if you do, you know, decide to do this on your own and you want to use Facebook ads, for example, I would strongly, strongly recommend taking some kind of Facebook ads training. If you get a course, then don't just take the course, but really do the work involved to get good at the thing, of course. And since this would be kind of a part-time thing for yourselves, I'd recommend spending a good few weeks on it, kind of allowing that much time to go through it. It's not that it's rocket science, but there's a bunch of stuff to learn and kind of get the hang of. Next thing after you've gone through the training, next step is getting your campaigns right. Not a small job. What we've found is that new Facebook ad campaigns, when you haven't run, especially when you haven't run them before, if it's kind of a new offer, only about 1 or 2 out of 10 campaigns tend to work straight away. There's a load of different little go wrong and only a few ways to do it right. So for example, Molly Pittman, who runs Facebook ads for Digital Marketer, who's one of the biggest digital marketing agencies in the world, she says if we create 10 ad campaigns, we expect 1 to 2 campaigns to succeed, because it's about a different market and kind of learning new stuff. And obviously then you need to go through the same kind of process as well for sales or retention, whichever one it is you're working on. And so if you do it yourself, I just want you to be aware in advance, it's going to take a lot of time to make these improvements. You need to allow some money for ad budget for testing if you're doing Facebook ads. And it's just a whole load of things to learn, you know, and work to do. And that's why Chris has been helping that guy from the basketball club, because he needed that support with kind of getting started. And luckily, like I said, there's an easier way. If you've got ambitious targets for your fitness business, then Chris is offering this free strategy call. Going to talk you through what approach would be right for you based on his experience. He's going to be talking to you about you, your project, your targets, help you understand what could work for you. Now, a lot of people, a lot of marketers would charge a lot of money for support like this, but Chris is basically wants to help, wants to work with other fitness businesses and help them to get the kind of success that he's had.
So he's offering this call for free, and I'm suspecting that offer won't be around forever. So if you do decide to get his help after that with getting started, then he could then also help you get the system set up in your area. And he's got the experience and kind of the proven systems. But that would be totally up to you. So does that sound helpful to you? If so, what's the next step? There's a feedback form in a minute, and after this, we're going to move on to the Q&A. And if you fill in the feedback form, it's very short, and if you then you'll be sent through to the page where you can book a call directly in Chris's calendar. And this doesn't commit you to anything. This is about helping you. So, Chris, does that all sound, before I give the link for that, does that all sound right? Have I done a fair job of kind of explaining what you're offering here?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. That's spot on.
Great. So if you go to makesportfun.com/freestyle, because it's freestyle martial arts, so you go to makesportfun.com/freestyle, that's going to send you through to the form. You fill in your details and say if you want to book a call with Chris, and it'll show you Chris's calendar. You can basically just book a call directly in there. There's some clever online software that allows you to do that. So I'm just going to give you about 2 minutes so that everyone can grab their diaries and find a time that's good for them and fill that in. And then once you've done that, write any questions you've got into the chat box and we will do a Q&A session. So you've just got 2 minutes to fill that in at makesportfun.com/freestyle, and then we'll move on to the next step. Okay, just another like 15 seconds to let you finish off filling that in and then we'll move on. All right, so Chris, first question, Carol is asking, does Chris have a website for his business?
Yes, freestylemartialarts.com. And then I run, so there's three of us that run all of the sites that will come up. I run Watford and Hartford, but they're all, the whole website is centrally controlled between the three of us. So as far as regards to design and stuff that goes on there, every single page should look the same, with a slight obviously difference in things like address and who the instructor is and class times. But yeah, www.freestylemartialarts.com. Go and have a look. We spent a lot of money and time getting that website working for us. It looks good. We're happy with it. It's working. We've only just stopped tweaking it. It's taken us about 5 years to get it working right. But yeah, we're happy with it. Go and have a look.
Carol has also asked, please can you share the direct debit service that Chris uses?
Go cardless. Geo.
And how do people sign up for that? Just go to their website, I guess.
Yeah, go on Google, type in Go Cardless. So Go Cardless, one word, and it'll pop up. Very, very easy to set up. I think the first big company to use them was The Guardian. You know, they started charging for their online subscription service, about £2 a month or something, was it? So The Guardian use them. It's great. You get a portal so you can, you know, monitor what goes in and out of your account and wherever direct debits have been cancelled or failed. You get emails straight away. Whereas in actual fact, and they only take 1% of each payment. So for a £30 a month direct debit, they take 1% of each payment. Whereas the what's that work out at? 30p. Whereas the other company I was using, the Red Letter debt collector company, was taking £2.10 per direct debit. And if you've got 140 people, you're talking at about over £200 a month in direct debit. So Go Cardless is the one that we chose in the end.
Nice. Okay. Christine has asked, where does Chris operate his club from? Does he have a dedicated premise or is it in a sports/church hall?
So we use sports halls and gyms in schools currently. Although I've been in the business 7 years, I'd love to have a facility of my own, but with that comes expensive rent for the premises, and then you're responsible for things like maintenance and stuff. I'd love to have my own gym, but I don't. It's much easier for us at the moment to rent other people's premises and fill up classes one day in the future, maybe. But I want to stick to working part-time hours for full-time money if I can. I've got a little boy who's just been born 7 weeks ago, so... yeah, in the future. But yeah, we rent gyms and halls.
And Carol's asked, what trends does Chris anticipate in his value proposition / pricing structure for the future?
If I'm honest, I'd love to keep them the same. I really would. If I'm going to put them up, it'd only be incrementally. It'll be 35 and 50 rather than 30 and 45, only £5 a month jump. But I'd really have to justify it. I mean, I'd rather have more people paying me less money than less people paying more money, if that makes any sense. I'll be very, very hesitant to put prices up. And even if I did, it would only be for new customers. So the existing 145 people we've got, their payment wouldn't go up at all. I don't think that's fair. No one likes getting an email about their Sky or their Virgin service going up by £2 a month. People start resenting the company. So if we was to put it up, it'd be for new customers only. And because your existing customers have been there for a couple of years, they deserve that for their loyalty. So it'd only be very, very small incremental changes to prices. And I think where we've got it at the moment, it sort of sells itself. You don't need a massive sales pitch and it's easy to run. So yeah, not much at all, really, if I can help it.
Right. All right. I mean, it adds up, doesn't it? 145 people times £30 a month times 12 months. That's £52,200, according to my calculations. That's certainly
does
add up, so it's working. 9 hours a week. that's a good rate of return, isn't it?
Not bad.
Nice.
Not bad. Obviously, there is a bit of office work, don't get me wrong. But, you know, for teaching 3 classes on a Wednesday, 1 on a Thursday and 2 on a Friday, you could be doing worse.
Yeah. Nice.
Simplify everything.
Great.
Simplify it. It works.
Well, that's all of the questions we've had. Have you got anything else you want to leave people with?
In actual fact, one of my long-term goals when I first started doing this, I was promised by the guy that I learned from that you could get super rich doing it, and you could. If you had, you know, 4 or 5 different locations and you got 1,000 students paying you £30 a month, then yeah, you definitely could. You make £30,000 a month. Those are astronomical numbers. But, you know, one of the reasons I started doing this is because I could foresee, even at 23, 24 years old, that I wanted to work as little as possible for as much return as possible. Now, that sounds lazy, but... 7 weeks ago, my firstborn son was born, and now I have the absolute privilege of working or leaving the house minimum hours every single week. So I'm only away, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday evening for a few hours at a time. So I get to spend more time with my family. And I think for me, not only about, you know, I earn a good living off of what I do, don't get me wrong. And, you know, I do reap the rewards of the hard work I put in previously. But for me, it was more about working for myself rather than for somebody else, because I, you know, I'm not big on working for being somebody's employee, but just to spend more time with my family. I'd hate, at 7 weeks, you know, I say to my wife most days, I'd hate to have to disappear for 10 hours a day and go and work a job in the city and jump on a train, an hour commute there, an hour back, an 8 hour shift. And, you know, I'd miss basically my whole son's childhood because I'm too busy working for somebody else who I'm just a number and I don't, you know, they don't really care about me. There's three people wanting my job as soon as I leave. So, yeah, it was all about working for myself and turn it into a whole lifestyle, really. I've got so much time, you know, so much sort of leisure time where I can explore different avenues, like working with basketball companies and hopefully then after this, if other companies in the future. It's open. The amount of doors that's open for me is unbelievable. You know, when I first met John, I was working in the local gym, and I only joined there for fun. I mean, the job was badly paid. I'd never work for that sort of minimum wage type money ever again. But I only did it because I was bored, and I wanted to go out and meet new people, and you know, and here we are today. So, you know, working part time hours has massively suited me over the years. And when my wife goes back to work, I can be sole carer of my little boy, so we don't have to pay childcare, which, you know, is too expensive, 70 quid a day. You could justify that, really. So, yeah, big lifestyle change for me. That's what it's all about. Everything else, 140-odd students, is a bonus.
Nice. Well, thanks a lot, Chris, for sharing that with everybody today. I think that's been really valuable. Yeah, thanks, everybody, for listening in. And if you've got any other questions after this, Chris, if people haven't booked a call but they've got any other, they want to get in touch in the future, how could they do that?
You could send me an email, watford@freestylemartialarts.com, or go on our website, freestylemartialarts.com, find either Watford or Hartford, have a little look on, have a little nose on our website, steal some ideas if you want, and then fill in the contact form or send me an email directly. Or, yeah, get in touch with John, and then I'm sure he can pass my details on. And yeah, give me a call, and I'm more than happy to chat to people. I love sharing, you know, the experience and journey that I've been on. And we're only 7 years in, you know, when I'm 29 years old, so I've got a long way to go yet. So yeah, I love being able to share with, especially like with my friend Andy, who runs the basketball club, and just watching his academy grow and him going, oh my god, this is amazing. Yeah, I love it. So yeah, get in contact any way you can through either Make Sport Fun and John, or come to the website, send me an email.
Great. All right, thanks, Chris. Thanks, everybody. Let's call it a day.
Wonderful. Enjoy your day, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good weekend. I hope to hear from you all soon.
The moderator.